Northampton Colonel, share given by Gershon Heppner, Sunday 31st of July 2005, Kaf Dalad Tammuz, Toshin Samach He, Tehillim Perek Dalad. Right, Tehillim chapter Dalad. We'll do what we always do, just to go through the entire chapter in one go, and then we'll go through it in as much detail as we can. Lamnasech b'neginus mismo l'David. Lamnasech is a musical term, so it's something to do with music. We'll come back to it. B'neginus with song or with musical instruments. Mismo l'David, a song for David. B'kori, when I call out to you, Hashem, anini, answer me, Elokei Tzidki, God of my righteousness. Batsar, in narrow straits, or in trouble, really, it literally means narrow, when I'm in difficulty, hirchavtali, you have widened things for me, in other words, you've solved my problems when I've been in difficulties, choneni, favor me, ushmat velosi, and hear my prayer. Bnei ish, sons of men, mankind, people, admer chavodi lechlima, until when or until what extent will my honour be shamed? Te ehavunrik, till how long will you go on loving rubbish or emptiness? Te vakshu chazav sela, you'll go on seeking falsehood sela forever. How long are you going to do all these bad things? How long are you going to shame me? How long are you going to love rubbish? And how long are you going to continue seeking lies? Uda'u, and you should know, and know, ki hifla Hashem chosid lo, that Hashem has singled out for special treatment his pious one for himself, i.e. me. Hashem has singled me out, me, David. Hashem yishma b'kori elav, Hashem will listen when I call out to him. Now here's the most famous pasuk, Rigzu v'altechetou, we say this in Krishma Namita, Rigzu v'altechetou, tremble and do not sin, imruvu v'alchem, say in your heart, amishkavchem on your bed, v'domu sela, and be silent forever. Zivchu zivchei tzedek, sacrifices of righteousness, uvitchu el Hashem, and trust in Hashem, Rabim Omrim, many people say, Mi Yareinu Tov, who will show us good? Who will show us the good times? Nasa Aleinu Arpanecha, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, raise up upon us the light of your face. Hashem, Nasata Simcha V'libi, Hashem, you've given Simcha gladness in my heart. Even more happiness than, that mem of course means than, something is greater than the time, more happiness than the time of their corn and their wine, when they increase, when they've got lots of corn and wine. B'shalom yachtov eshkeva, in peace, yachtov together, Eshkava, I will lie down, v'ishon, and I will sleep, ki ata Hashem, because you are Hashem, levadod, lavetach, toshiveni, you will settle me by myself, securely, thank you, yes, yeah, securely. So we translated it, because at this stage it's still pretty meaningless. What is the chapter about? Well, the chapter is basically a message to David's enemies, and it's a message of Musa, and it's a rebuke to his enemies. Which enemies is a matter of machlokus? And at what stage in history did David say this chapter? That itself is also a matter of machlokus. So I'll just go through the basic views. According to Rashi, this chapter is said against the chaverim of Shaul HaMelech. Of course, Shaul HaMelech was out to catch David. David had to go on the run from Shaul. Had he caught him, he no doubt would have killed him. He made several attempts on David's life. Well, Shaul had various cronies and friends and chaverim. We mentioned a long time ago the exact misunderstanding that there was between Shaul and David, but this is a chapter directed at Shaul's chaverim, rebuking them. According to the Radak, it's not. According to the Radak, it's to do with Avshalom's rebellion. Chapter Gimel was also about Avshalom's rebellion, and that said beforeish that it was about Avshalom's rebellion. The Radak learns that this one is also at the time of Avshalom's rebellion, and it's a message to those people who are on Avshalom's side, notably Achisophel and all the others. Achisophel was, of course, this great, brilliant man who advised Avshalom in the battle against Ovid. And his advice was brilliant advice, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu engineered that Avshalom should not follow Achisophel's advice. Achisophel's advice, by the way, and I saw this in the art scroll on Tehillim, his advice was, it's brought in the Yalkut Shimoni, you'll find the Yalkut Shimoni, it's in Shmuel Beis Os Tes Zayin, where he says that Achisophel advised, one of the pieces of advice that Achisophel gave Avshalom was that he should have Biyah with the Pelagshim of David. Which in public, in order to make his stamp on the Malchus. You can't take the Pelagshim of the king for yourself unless you yourself are heading towards royalty yourself. Well, Avshalom was very much heading towards royalty, or so he thought, and so Achisophel said, take these Pelagshim for yourself in public. What exactly was Achisophel's thinking behind that? Achisophel was this huge Talmud Chacham, I think he was the Avbeisin at the time. How on earth could he think how on earth could it enter his mind? So the Yalkut Shimoni gives us a bit of background. He says he had a dream that his lineage was due for Malchus. Achisophel, generally, he would be heading towards Malchus. So his cheshbon was, I'll get Avshalom to have Biyah with the Pelagshim of David, then I'll try Avshalom for a capital crime, for taking the Pelagshim of the Melech. I'll wait for Avshalom first to kill David in war. Well, first we'll get David bumped off in war against Avshalom. Then I'll get Avshalom killed by a Beis Din for having taken these Pelagshim on my advice. That's what he was trying to engineer. And I'll step into the, and then I'll take the top job and I'll become the king. Of course, what was his dream? His dream was that Malchus would come his way, was in fact, it was fulfilled, but via his great-grandson was none other than Shlomo HaMelech, because his granddaughter was Bathsheba, the mother of Shlomo, and that's recorded beforeish in the Pasuk. So the Malchus was due to him, but not through himself, rather through his great-grandson Shlomo HaMelech. So two main machlokes in there so far. According to Rashi, David is talking against the enemies at the time when his enemies who joined Shaul chasing him. According to the Radak, it's those enemies who were with Avshalom. And according to the Malbim, it's a totally different story. According to the Malbim, we're talking about a particular particular part of history which is recorded in Shmuel Beis Chapter Kaf Aleph, where it's a follow-on from Shaul having killed out Nod Ir HaKohen, and he killed out the city of Kohen because they afforded David protection, and Shaul killed out that town, and in killing that town, he also killed seven Givonim who were servants to that town, servants of those Kohenim. Well, there was a famine for 3 years in Eretz Yisrael, and it was understood amongst Klal Yisrael that who was the primary cause of that famine was none other than David himself. Why? As a punishment, having taken Bathsheba from Uriah HaChiti, technically. Oh, technically he didn't, because she was really a Gerusha, but it looked bad. It didn't look too wonderful, and it was understood by people that David was to blame for this 3 year famine. It was a terrible famine, and they had to buy their produce from other neighbouring lands. Well, this is a big problem to David, because all fingers of blame were pointed towards him. He was mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his prayer was answered in that the Givonim came to David and said, we've got a big problem against you Jews, because seven of our people were killed when Shaul killed out Novir HaKonim. And David said, well, tell me, what would you like? You know, what will keep you happy? And they said, well, we would like to take seven Jews in revenge. And David engineered that. And David selected seven descendants of Shaul, who were all taken out, and they were hanged by these Givonim. Now, according to the Malbim, this entire chapter is directed to Klal Yisrael during those 3 years. Because during the 3 years of famine, everybody's blaming David. David was definitely was doing his best to, what's the word, to exonerate himself, to clear himself of the blame. And he's now speaking against those enemies of his who laid the blame at his feet for the famine. But he really was not to blame. After those seven descendants of Saul were killed, the famine immediately ceased, and the rain fell, and people, and there was produce that grew. So, okay, so there's our three machleks, and Rashi is directing it against the cronies of Saul, Radak is directing it against the cronies of Avshalom, and according to the Malbim, he's directing it against all the people in Klal Yisrael who laid the blame at his feet for the famine. Good, let's take a look at the Pesukim. Oh, saying Pasuk Aleph. Lamnatzech b'neginos mizmeh l'David. This word Lamnatzech is a musical term. B'neginos is a musical term, and mizmeh is a musical term. So Norman, Levine, you got to get it. It's really for us. What's the pshat in this word Lamnatzech? According to Rashi, it means to be mischazik ba'avoda, to strengthen yourself in your service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes a pasuk in Ezra, chapter Gimel, pasuk Ches, Vayamidu es Halevim, in the times of Ezra, when they re-established the settlement of Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, Vayamidu es Halevim, they established the Levim miben esrim shana v'mala, from 20 years upwards, lenatzeach, there's that word, lenatzeach ha-meleches beis Hashem, which really means to succeed in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says it really means to be mischazik, to strengthen yourself in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, this word lamnatzeach has connections with Levim. Because that phrase, lamnatzeach ha-melechus beis Hashem, in Ezra, is all about Levim, therefore lamnatzeach is a reference to the Levim. And Rashi learns that this word lamnatzeach means give this over to the Levim to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. Lamnatzeach, it should be given over to the Levim. It doesn't mean any specific lady, it just means give it over to the Levim generally. The Metzudas Tzion explains why it comes to mean the choir of the Levim, because Menatzeach means to succeed. And he says, you can imagine a choir, this is really quite funny, different people, members of the choir, are jostling that their voice should outclass the others. So the different people. Shemanatzchim ze'ezeh b'haromas kol. That's his expression. Each one is trying to get outclass the other singers, that their voice should be the primary, the most strident voice. That's how Rashi learns. It's a reference to Levim generally. The Ibn Ezra learns the word lamnatzeach is coming from the word netzach, which means eternity. David is giving over this chapter to the Levim for eternity, and it's for them to use in the Beis HaMikdash forever. He brings another pshat, which is brought by a few of the Rishonim, that Menatzeach is one particular Levi. Which one? The conductor of the choir. Lamnatzeach means to the conductor. And this is a chapter to him, given over to the conductor for him to organize. So this is Lamnatzeach, and he's in charge both of the Meshorerim, the choral singers in the Beis HaMikdash, and also the Menagnim, the orchestral players. The word Beneginos, Lamnatzeach Beneginos, is a reference, the Ibn Ezra explains, that's a reference to music and instruments. And he says that the different sections of the orchestra had different names, and the word Neginos is the name of one particular section of the orchestra. This is then expanded as well. He said, I think this is actually brought in the Radak, as far as I remember, I didn't jot it down, that there are a number of different instruments. There's one instrument called Sheminis, which is why you have some chapters of Tehillim beginning Lamnatzeach al Hashminis. So there was an instrument called Sheminis, I don't know what it was. There's Nevolim, which is a lyre, similar to a drum. An eight-string instrument, the Nevolim, which are, I suppose, the modern equivalent would be a guitar. The harp is given by the kinnoros. I think kinnor is more like a harp, while the nevolim are more like a nevel in modern Ivrit is a harp. Oh, okay, and kinnor? Is a lyre. Oh, I've got it the other way around. In my dictionary, get the other? Lyre. L-Y-R-E. Yeah. I looked it up in the art scroll, what's it called? Jastro, he translates the volume as a lyre and Kinnoros as a lute. And the lute is rather like a harp, so two bows and a harp. Yeah. Not a flute, a lute. A lute. Which one? Mechil. Mechil, for next chapter. Ask me in about a month. Mitzhalkayim, another instrument of the cymbals, the shofar, and the chatzitzos, the trumpets. I just must get this down on record, on tape. But I asked Rabbi Cooper many years ago, I said to him, what's the situation with the Beis HaMikdash? When we have third Beis HaMikdash, will we have electricity in it? Will we have modern inventions in the third Beis HaMikdash? And I took my question a bit further, and I said, and if we do, is it feasible that the orchestra, the Levim, will have electronic instruments? And Rabbi Cooper thought for me, and he says, I don't see why not. He said, as long as it doesn't go against anything halachic. He said, electricity, he said, why not? He says, you can have all mod cons in the Beis HaMikdash to make it run smoothly, as long as the Shechita and the Avodah, the Hakarbonos, all goes according to the halacha. Why ever not? We see technological improvements took place in the Beis HaMikdash. They increased the number of taps on the Kiya, and there are other changes that took place over periods of time in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, so likewise, says, why not? Could even have, it's perfectly feasible to have electronic instruments, so keep practicing the electronic keyboard. Don't give up. You told me you were going to give up. No? You told me years ago. Oh, good, okay. Yeah. A synthesizer. Why not? Yeah, so really, you have a keeper said. Yeah, it is interesting. Hallelujah, Benet Vachina. Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know. Well, the keeper said, was, you know, as long as it doesn't go anything, it's not in contravention of anything halachic, why ever not? Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. Okay. Good. That's it for possible. Aleph. Yeah. So yeah, Lamnasech Meneginus means Mele David, song for David. The art scroll gave a terrific translation of this opening phrase, Lamnasech Meneginus, and said, for the conductor, that's Lamnasech, for the conductor with instrumental music. Okay? Nice translation. Okay, possible bass. Bakuri, when I call out, Aneni, answer me, Elokei Tzidki, God of my righteousness, we'll say. Batsar hechavtali, in my troubles, or in my narrow, when I've been in narrow straits, in my troubles, hechavtali, you've helped me out, you've widened things for me. Choneni, favor me, Ushmat velosi, and hear my prayer. Okay, so Rashi explains that what you've got here in this pasuk, you've got two halves of the pasuk. The first half, which gives you the phrase Batsar hirchavtali, in my troubles you help me out, that's in the past tense. Whereas the next section, Choneni Ushmat Filosi, is in the future tense. Please favour me and please hear my prayer. So you've got a mixture there, past and present. Past and future. So Rashi says that indeed that's exactly what it is. He's giving Hoda'ah for the past, he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the past, and he's saying, please favour me for the future. Thanks for everything you've done for me so far, and please carry on in the future. That's how Rashi learns. And that's expanded by the Yalkut Miam Lois, who says that it's logical that if a person has helped his chaver in the past, he wouldn't want that investment to go to waste, and he'll continue helping him in the future. So that's exactly what David said. You helped me in the past, please continue helping me in the future. However, there's a machlokes about this. The Radak learns that the Radak learns that Batsar hirchavtoli, you've helped me out in the past, really is a prayer for the future. Like the second half of the pasuk is in the future, Chanini Yoshmat Filosi, favor me and listen to my prayer, which is of course in the future. Excuse me. So the first half of the pasuk, Batsar hirchavtoli, in the past you've helped me out, says the Radak, it doesn't really refer to the past, it really is also a prayer for the future. Why is it in the past? So he says, we find this throughout Tanakh. We find this technique that a Novi will say something that's going to happen in the future, but writes it in the past tense. Because he is so certain that it's going to happen, that he's comfortable about writing it in the past tense as though it has already happened. People who learn Tanakh, the English phrase for this is given as like a prophetic past. It's prophetic, but it's written in the past tense as though it has already happened. It's such a certainty. So we've got a machlokes between Rashi and the Radak. Rashi says he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what's happened in the past, and he's davening for what should happen in the future. And the Radak says, no, it's all a prayer for the future, but the first section is written in the past tense because he's so certain it's going to happen. So too in the future. Yeah, oh, that's how Rashi learns. Ah, well, Batsar, due to the past, please help me in the future. Yeah, that's how Rashi learns it, that's for sure. Now, how to understand this expression, Elokei Tzidki, is a bit of a machlokas. According to the Mitzvot David, he says the word Tzidki is a lashon of Tzedakah, God of my charity, you've been charitable to me. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done Tzedakah with me, so God of my charity, Elokei Tzidki. Whereas the Radak learns, no, Elokim is, the Radak says that Hashem sheyodea she'imi hatzedek. Hashem knows that I'm in the right. She'imi hatzedek. I am in the right. He gives me gerecht. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in agreement with me. Why? Because he says that the word Elohim is usually a lashon of judgment. Like we find in the Torah. The Torah uses the word Elohim to refer to Dayanim. Elohim lo sekalel. It's pasuk in Mishpatim, which the Targum translates as Dayanim. Judges. So the word Elohim can be a reference to judges, and therefore whenever you have the word Elohim, it's always an expression of judgment. So here you have Elokei Tzidki, it's a mixture. Elokei, so he's judging me, which is like the pure, cold justice, non-emotional justice, and at the same time you've got Tzidki, Hashem who sees that I am in the right. The article translation, this is a fantastic translation, God of my vindication. Brilliant, yeah? The Tzidki, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sees that I am right. That's how the... Tatzadek, yeah, that's it, you're in the right, that's it. Elokei Tzidki. Oh, so hechavta me. Let's have a look at the Yerushalmi. Let's get Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says in this is Yerushalmi in Tanis, Perek Beis Mishnah Tes or Halacha Tes. The Yerushalmi quotes this pasuk and says, "Amar Rabavo, Kesiv." The pasuk says, "Bekori, when I called out, Ameni Elokei Tzidki, answer me, God of my charity." Batar hechavtali. Amar David lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. David said, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ben Olamim Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Tzar Sheal Yisi Nichnas La. Every trouble I've ever been involved with, you widened it for me. You got me out of difficulties. I got into trouble over the story of Bathsheba, and not only did you get me out of the trouble, but you gave me tzedakah on top of that. What was that? You gave me a son Shlomo, who's going to be the next king. You gave me the Torah of Yisrael, and that's a reference to the Magefa when David carried out the census. It says, and not only did we somehow recover from that, I'm not sure how, said it on top of that, but Nasatali es Beis HaMikdash, you gave me the Beis HaMikdash, because David didn't build the Beis HaMikdash himself, his son did, but David paved the way for it by settling the Eretz Yisrael to be a safe country from all its surrounding enemies. So that's Yerushalmi on this pasuk. Now the word choneni, very interesting. The art scroll explains the word choneni, favor me, comes from the same root as chinom, graciousness or grace. Give me grace. And he says that's related to the same root as in the word chinom, free. In other words, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve all the favors you've done for me, and I've got them free of charge. I'm undeserving of these of this chen. And he relates the word chen there to chinam. On the phrase Ushmat Filosi, listen to my prayer, hear my prayer, the Yalkut Miamnois points out, he says, I'm from the tribe of Yehuda. David says, I'm from the tribe of Yehuda, and therefore I should have a special entree to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because he's got a pasuk in V'zeh Sabrocha, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. Hashem, listen to the voice of Yehuda. So Shema Tefilasi goes very much together with the fact that David came from the tribe of Yehuda. Good. Okay. That's pasuk base. How are we doing? Alright? Good. Pasuk Gimel. Benitish. Now it gets meaty. Benitish, sons of men. Adme chvodi lichlima. Till when will my honour be shamed? Te ehavun rik. Now, of course, that phrase adme at the beginning, or close to the beginning of the pasuk, goes not just on the phrase chvodi lichlima. Till when? To what extent will my honour be shamed? But it also goes on the phrase te ehavun rik. So, to what extent, or for how long will you go on loving emptiness or rubbish? Tevatshu chazav sela, you will seek falsehood, sela, forever. Very strange passage. So, for how long will you go on doing all terrible things? How long will you go on shaming me? And for how long will you go on loving rubbish? And for how long will you go on seeking falsehood? So, the first thing to notice, who are these Bnei Ish? To whom is David referring? So, if we learn according to Rashi, where Rashi learned it's a reference to the enemies of David at the time when Shaul was after him, he says these Bnei Ish are Yidden, fellow Jews. And the word Ish refers to the Avos, because each of the three Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are all referred to by the word Ish. And he quotes the Pesukim. With Avraham, we've got a Pasuk in Vayera, the story when Avimelech abducted Sarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avimelech, Ba'ata, and now Hashedes Eishes Ha'ish, return the wife of this man, Ki Novi Hu, because he's a Novi. And that Ish is, of course, Avraham. But he's also referred to as Ish. When Rivka arrived to meet Yitzchak and arrived together with Eliezer, and Yitzchak was out in the field, he was davening mincha, she said to Eliezer, the servant, Mi ha'ish halazeh? Who's this man who's walking in the field? And there's that. That's Yitzchak referred to by the word Ish. And with Yaakov, of course, we have for Yaakov Ish Tom Yeshiv Olin. Yaakov is also referred to as Ish. So, sorry, Moshe, Avish Moshe Anav Ma'od. Yeah. Oh, this is referred to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov who kicked off the whole of Yiddishkeit, and therefore Bnei Ish referred to other Yidden. Bnei Ish, other Yidden. Of course, the word Ish is a superior term than Odom. Ish is a, of all the words referring to man, there's Ish and Odom and Enosh, maybe Gever, but Ish is considered the most choshev one. Like in the passage says, Vayimtsa Ehu Ish, in Parashas Vayeshev, that the Malach, I think it was Malach Gavriel, wasn't it, who found Yosef wandering around looking for the brothers and so on. So Ish is considered a choshev term. Oh. So the three others are each independently referred to by the word Ish, and therefore Bnei Ish is a reference to the sons of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and these are the cronies of Shaul who are chasing after David. To what extent will my honour be shamed? So Rashi explains, this is that my enemies, in particular the ones on Shaul's side, refuse to refer to me by my own name. They tend not to refer to me by the name David, my own name, but rather in a pejorative form, they refer to me as Ben Yishai. And Rashi quotes a whole bunch of pesukim, about four pesukim, where the enemies of David refer to him as Ben Yishai. Oh, that son of Yishai, in a pejorative manner. So, of course, there's a bit of a kasher on that. That Ben Yishai, you could say, is not a bizayon. That's a big covered. Yishai was such an immense tzaddik. He died without doing any avaris at all. What a tzaddik he was! You could say it's a terrific cover to refer to. You know, halavai, everyone would refer to me by the name of my illustrious father, Ben Yishai. So the answer is no, because there are occasions when David is referred to by his enemies with the name David. Occasionally they do refer to him by his own name, David. Therefore you can see that on the occasions when they do not refer to him by his own name, it's dafka, a pejorative form. So that's what he's saying. According to Rashi, this is my honour is shamed because they refuse to refer to me by my own name. Also in the case of Novel, this man whom David approached for assistance in the Midbar, and Novel said, you know, he also referred to David as Ben Yishai. Yeah. This Bnei Ish, the Medrash Shechatov, unfortunately I didn't get to look it up, I ran out of time. The Medrash Shechatov refers to, I just saw it quoted in the Outscroll, says Bnei Ish refers to two specific people, two specific enemies of David. Who? Doeg, who advised Shaul that the town of Nob had given refuge to David. Doeg Ardoni, and Achisophel, who of course advised Avshalom in the war against David. So this B'nai Ish are these two people who are apparently great Talmid Chachamim, but they blotted the copybook in the wars against David. B'nai Ish. They would otherwise be considered to good men, but that's funny. No, because they were Rishonim. I mean, these were Talmid HaChachamim who became the great Rishonim. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Who is this Tavakshu Chozov? He says, for how long, right at the end of the Pasuk, how long will you go on, Tavakshu Chozov, seeking out lies or falsehoods, Selah forever? So Rashi learns this is a reference to the people from the area called Zif. This is one of the other incidents of people from the area called Zif. They were not Yidden, as far as I understand, they were not Jews, and they made out to David as though they were great friends of David. Outwardly, they showed him every support. Secretly, behind his back, they reported his whereabouts to Shaul, and Shaul went herring after David and almost caught up with him in the Midbar on that occasion. So, and that's Kozov, that's falsehood, because they lied to David. They pretended to be on David's side, and of course they weren't. Just for the sake of completeness, it's the Metzudas David who points out that the phrase Ad Meh has a dual function or a triple function, referring to all three stages in the pasuk. Ad Meh referring to Chavoti Lechlima, to what extent will my honor be shamed, and also referring to Te'ehoven Rik, to what extent will you love rubbish, and also referring to Tevakshu Chazov, how long will you, to what extent will you go on loving, seeking falsehood. The Ibn Ezra points out that B'nai Ish is a reference to those who helped Avshalom, the cronies of Avshalom. Why they referred to as B'nai Ish? He says because they were actually quite young people. They were youngsters at that time. I can imagine, well, Avshalom was a very influential, charismatic person, and he got a lot of people on his side. But it seems, according to this Ibn Ezra, most of them were young people who were tremendous Baalei Gaivra. Well, Avshalom himself is a tremendous Baalei Gaivra. He was Mr. Universe. Physically, he was this really good-looking chap. Didn't have a single physical blemish, the Gemara says. And he became a big Baalei Gaivra. And he was a big Baalei Gaivra with his hair. He was a nonsense. He had this long hair, but it made him into a big Baalei Gaivra at the same time. So he says, this B'nai Ish is a reference, it's a combination. On the one hand, they are B'nai, they're youngsters. On the other hand, they are Ish. They're youngsters who make themselves out to be Ish, make themselves out to be older and superior people, but in fact they're simply young people who are great Baalei Gaivra. The Malbim says that this is this B'nai Ish. The Malbim's pshat, of course, referring to saying that this whole chapter is directed against the people in Klal Yisrael who suspected David of being the one to blame for the famine. So he says that's exactly what it is. This B'nai Ish are the late sonim of the Dur, the scoffers of that generation, who pointed the finger of blame to David for the famine, saying it's all David's fault because of the mice of Bathsheba. Oh. Now, Te'ehovun Rik is a very interesting word, because it's got this extra nun at the end. Now really, the word is really te'ehovu, or something like that, without the nun. What does the nun actually do? Well, the grammarians refer to this nun as a nun energicum, which is a great word in Latin, a nun energicum, an energy-giving nun. It simply means emphasis. It's a nun that provides emphasis to the word. And I've heard of this type of nun many, many years ago from Mr. Kai Fierstone, who taught me so much Dikduk and a lot of Tanakh, and he's a brilliant man. He's a terrific rabbi and a terrific teacher. He's learned the whole of Tanakh, literally. He's learned the whole of Tanakh. He once admitted it to me in a quiet moment. He taught me this Lashon of the Nun is referred to by the grammarians as a Nun Energikum. But now I saw it for the first time in Rav Shimshon Felhash. Rav Shimshon Felhash's Pirish on this chapter, he says, he doesn't call it Nun Energikum, but he explains that it's for emphasis. It's an emphatic Nun, and it says, it gives emphasis to the pronoun Te'ehovun Rik. You love rubbish. I, David, don't. You do. It's almost like it's in bold and underlined and in italics. It's you. It gives emphasis to the pronoun. You love rubbish. Good. Okay. Yeah, Tishmu'un, all those words with the Nun Energikum, it somehow gives extra emphasis to the pronoun. Yeah. Might be hard to fit that pshat into every single time, but that the Rishon Shem Chedash certainly brings it on this pasuk. Right, pasuk Dalet. Udu'u, and know, says David, ki hifla Hashem chosid lo, that Hashem has singled out, or is given specialist treatment to his chosid. Who's that chosid? I am, says David. I'm that chosid. Hashem yishma b'kari elav, Hashem shall listen when I call out to him. Oh. So the Radak points out, this word chosid means, this word chosid is an expression of lifnim mishur sadim. I go beyond the letter of the law. I don't just do what I'm told. I don't just keep all the mitzvahs in the Torah. I go beyond that. Chosid. I'm a chosid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I do things that he doesn't actually require me to do. And the Radak gives an example that even when Shaul was chasing David and doing his utmost to kill David, David went about his business. Obviously, he went on the run. So comes to Poshas, he had to do his best to preserve his own life. But he gave every possible cover to Shaul that he could. He recognized that Shaul was the Mashiach Hashem. He recognized Shaul as being a great tzaddik and being a great Talmud Chacham. He recognized Shaul for all his great values. But the only thing was, he had to protect himself. He had to go on the run. So, for example, he refused to allow Yoav to kill Shaul on occasion when David and Yoav came across Shaul when he was asleep, and Yoav said, "Well, here's your arch enemy. I'll kill him for you on the spot." And David said, "Absolutely not. He's the Mashiach Hashem. He's a tzaddik. Don't lay a finger." And he refused to allow Yoav to do it. And David gave utmost respect to Shaul all the time, if only because he was his own son-in-law. If only for that reason, but he recognized Shaul as being a great tzaddik. Hilchos Kibud Avim applied to parents-in-law as well. So that's the, it's brought to the Chayav Adam Lechabed Chomiv is the halacha in Yerideh, in Hilchos Kibud Avim. What's this ki hifla? What's this special treatment? Simple. That he said, I've been anointed by Shmuel Anovi. I didn't write down in my notes where I saw that, but I saw that shot somewhere. Ki hifla, Hashem has made me special. When did he make me special? Simply because I was anointed with the Shemana Mishra through by Shmuel Anovi. Good. Pasuk. Here's the big pasuk. Rigzu v'al techetau imru v'avchem amishkavchem v'dem yisela. Tremble. He says, David says to his enemies, you should tremble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you do, v'al techetau, then you won't come to any averus. He's trying to wean them away from their bad ways. Say it in your hearts, Amishkavchem, on or while you're lying down on your bed, v'dom yisela, and be silent forever. Oh, so Pashup Shat in the Pasuk is that David is giving this Devar Musar to his enemies, whichever class of enemy it is, depending on the different Mefarshim, and he's saying to them, you should tremble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you won't come to do any Averis. And Imru V'Vavchem, say it over in your hearts. And when should you do that? Amishkavchem, while you're lying down on your bed. Why when you're lying down on your bed? Because when you're lying down in bed, and you're free from all the things that drive you nuts during the day, and you're not driven from pillar to post, you get a moment of quietude and solitude, you're lying down in bed, your mind is clear, think things over. David says to his enemies, think things over. And tremble before Hashem, and make up your mind you're going to do teshuvah, and that will save you from all future avarice. And don't chase me, and don't do avarice, and don't try and kill me, and so on, because I mean well, and I'm doing my best to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should do your best. So that's what Shatam Mishkavchem. Not some of the first Hashem say that it means to tremble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're on your bed. And Rashi explains it means that Imu V'Vavchem, set it into your heart. Set it into your heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns you all the mitzvahs of the Torah and expects great things from you. And V'Domu Sela, be silent. What's the Shatim? Be silent. Be silent, Sela, forever. Stop going after me. Leave me alone. Be quiet. Stop talking bad things about me. Stop all the Lashon Hara, like the Doeg and Achisofel and all these enemies and all the people who are pointing their fingers of blame at me. So stop it. Don't miss that up. Be quiet about it. Don't stop all this Lashon Hara. Oh, yeah. Don't rebel against me. Don't miss that up. Don't rebel against me. Yeah. Imru v'Vavchem, say it over in your heart. The Radak points out that this is an expression for thought. Whenever the Pasuk speaks about Amira, speech, in connection with leave, in connection with the heart, it doesn't really mean, it's almost a contradiction in terms. You cannot speak and use your heart. It means to think things over. And it doesn't give any examples, but the most obvious example that sprang to my mind was Vayomer Haman Belibo. When Haman comes to Achashverosh in the middle of the night to ask Rishus to kill Mordechai, and he's just had the story of how Mordechai saved his life, so and he says to Mordechai, you know, what should we do? What coverage should we give the person who's done this wonderful thing? Whom does the king? Whom can the king possibly wish to honor besides more than me? It must be me. So Vayomer Haman Belibo means he thought it to himself. Just as a quick aside. This is from memory and I haven't checked it out. There's a whole Omid of Gomorrah in Megillah which explains different psukim to show that Megillah Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. And of all the proofs in the Gemara, the Gemara says the best proof is this pasuk, Vayomer Haman Belibo. Haman thought to himself, well, Mordechai and Esther wrote the Megillah, how on earth could they possibly know what he was thinking? Elamai, it must be that Megillah Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says that's the best raya of all. So Vayomer Haman Belibo is an amira in the lave, means to think. Now, big chiddush here from the Malbim. The Malbim goes through this whole chapter, and another pasuk he explains how this chapter refers to those 3 years of famine when the fingers of blame were laid at David, were pointed towards David for the mice of Bathsheba, and he was the one to blame for the famine, or so everybody thought, and he's doing his best to exonerate himself. Big chiddush now from the Malbim. This only the Malbim can say this. Says so the Malbim in this pasuk, al mishkavchem, is a reference to znus. Mishkav is simple, mishkavin a bed, and al, listen to this huge chiddush. He says the word al comes from the word ovel, ayin vav lamed, which means sin. It's the sin of the mishkav. That's the Malbim. He learns pshat in this pasuk. Amish kavchen. Where he takes the pasuk in here along these lines. Amish kavchen being a reference to the avera of zanus that David was supposed to have committed with Bathsheba. Amish kavchen. Yeah. Pardon? Ovel. Yeah. Ovel as well is another word. Ovel. Where do you have the word ovel? No. There are two words. Avla, yeah, Avla, that's it. An Avla, Ayin Vav Lamed. Where do you have the word Ovel? I think it's in Hazinu. You've been to Hazinu, you're a Hazinu man. Is it in Hazinu? I think it's in Hazinu. Can't remember. Well, okay. Yeah. I've not said Tishpu to Ovel. Yes, that's it. No, but that's not in Hazinu. It's a possum somewhere. I don't know where. Yeah. Okay, let's come to a very well-known Gemara in Brachos. It's the top of Daf Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Amar Rab Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rab Shimon Ben Lakish, La'olam Ya'giz Adam Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Ra. A person should always make his Yetzer Tov angry against his Yetzer Ra. To control the Yetzer Ra, use anger. Make your Yetzer Tov angry with your Yetzer Ra. Shenema, Rigzu V'al Techetou. Be angry. V'al Techetou, because Rogez also means anger. The Pashup Shat on this Pasuk is to learn that Rigzu means to tremble. But you can also learn the word Rogez meaning anger, to be Brogez, right? That is anger. So Rigzu V'al Techetou. Display anger against the Yetzirah, v'al techetou, and you won't sin. Im nitzcho, if he defeats the Yetzirah with that, mutav, wonderful, very good. V'im lav, but if not, next solution is, yasik b'Torah, let him learn Torah. Then the person should learn Torah. Shenema, imuvul vavchem, say it over in your heart. Torah is said over, it's said with the mouth, but it has to occupy the entire heart. It takes up your entire mind. So Imu V'Vavchem is a reference to Talmud Torah. When facing a Yetzirah, learn Torah. Im Nitzcho, if you defeat the Yetzirah of that, Mutav, wonderful. Dim Lavin, if not, Yikra Krishma, then you should say Krishma, Shenema, Amishkavchem, which we say when going to sleep. When you lie down, so Amishkavchem, when you sleep. Im Nitzcho, Mutav, that's wonderful, if it works, if that defeats the Yetzirah, Dim Lav, if not, He should remind himself that one day he's going to die. He is mortal. So this pasuk, v'domusela, you'll be silent forever, is a reference to a person in the grave. So v'domusela. So here we have this Gemara, which understands this pasuk as the main antidote to the Yetzirah. First of all, use anger against the Yetzirah. If that doesn't work, then say Krishna. If that doesn't work, then learn Torah. And if that doesn't work, then remind the person should remind himself he's going to, that one day he will be no longer alive. Now, I literally came across this Mamash B'Nes, Derech Nes. I was looking up as totally separate halacha, and I came across this. I must read this out to you. I found this. This is in Hilchis Krishna, Erech Haim Simon Reish Lamates. Listen to this piece of Ramah. The Ramah says there in Sif Aleph, the Ramah says, after saying Shema, v'ein ochlim v'shosim, you can't eat and you can't drink, v'le medabri mechag Krishma, you can't talk after saying Krishma, it's the Krishma l'amita, don't talk, sha'al mitaso, don't say acha Krishma sha'al mitaso, ela yishan miyad, he should sleep straight away, shemema, Imruvavavchem is reference to Krishna. Sorry, Imruvavavchem, say it over. Almishkavchem on your bed, i.e. Krishna. And immediately after, Almishkavchem after saying Shema, Vedomisela, be silent. In other words, you shouldn't have a hefsek. Well, interesting, Shiloh, a person doesn't sleep straight away. It's not a bracha levatala. I heard a shiur on our wonderful tape library from Rabbi Socha Frand about the bracha of Hamapil. I've got a whole shiur about the bracha of Hamapil, the halachas of saying Hamapil, and what happens if a person can't sleep, and also interesting shalos about sleep during the day, and so on. Okay, so we learn it from the day we sell up, a person should sleep straight away, and not do any hefsek. Good. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Yeah, Zivchei Tzedek. David's talking to his enemies. Zivchu zivchei tzedek, sacrifices of righteousness, or vitchel Hashem, and trust in God. So make korbanos and trust in Hashem. So Rashi says, it doesn't really mean korbanos. David is saying to his enemies, do teshuvah. If you do teshuvah and you correct your ways, then it will count HaKadosh Baruch Hu as though you have ki'ilu hikravtem, as though you brought karbanos. So zivchu zivchei tzedek doesn't really mean karbanos, it just means do teshuvah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it as though you've done teshuvah. And this is echoed in the Targum, the Lashon of the Targum, and I didn't bring the Targum with, and I didn't put the vowels in, and I hope I've got this right. Kavshu yitzchon, conquer your yitzhara, v'yifchashiv lachon, and it will count for yourselves, k'nichsas tzidka, as though you brought a korban of tzedakah. It'll count for yourself, it'll count for your own good. It'll go in your favour. So that's how Rashi learns, not real korbanos, and that's how the Targum also learns, not real korbanos. The Radak learns, no, it is a reference to real korbanos, and he's saying, and what David is saying to his enemies is, you've done such terrible aviris in the past, you've got to do teshuvah, and part of that teshuvah is going to have to bring korbanos to get yourselves a kapara. And zivchei, so it really means bring proper korbanos in order to do teshuvah. Zivchei tzedek, says the Radak, korbanos of righteousness. In other words, once you've brought the korban to do teshuvah, don't go back to your old ways afterwards. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, chapter Kafalef, pasuk Kavzayin, Zerach Rishoyim Toeva. It's the exact antithesis. Zerach Rishoyim Toeva. The korban of Rishoyim is an abomination. What does it mean? It means that he brings a korban, but he's got no real plans of teshuvah, he's got no real plans of correcting his ways, he brings the korban because that's the ritual he's got to do, but he's still called a rasha, zevach rishayim. Even at the moment he's bringing the zevach, he's still called a rasha. Why? Because he's got no real intentions of doing teshuvah. It says the Radak, do the opposite, make sure your korbanos are zivchei tzedek, bring korbanos which are korbanos of righteousness, i.e. have real plans of teshuvah at the time when you bring the korban. Yalkut Miam Lois on this pasuk brings a lovely moshul of a merchant who's travelling by sea, and he's got all his wares with him, and together with his wares he's also got sforim and items of mitzvah and so on, as he's travelling, and the storm breaks out at sea, and he chucks all his luggage overboard, he chucks all his wares overboard, but the svarim are going to be the last things he'll get rid of. Why? Because he knows, he says, if I don't have my svarim, then I can't learn, and I can't daven, if I can't learn, I can't daven, then I'm really going to be lost. So he says the same thing here, Zilchei Tzedek, hang on to that. He says, the Zilchei Tzedek, the Karbonus, that's going to be your last, that's your last hope. Is David's message to the Rish, to his enemies. So bring those carbonus and rely on them as your last hope, rather like the merchant at sea who doesn't get rid of his svarim as easily as he gets rid of his merchandise. The Malbim learns Zidchei Tzedek, that the word Tzedek is a lotion of the vindication of David. After the Givonim killed the seven descendants of Shaul, and the famine came to an immediate end, then everybody realized, that David was right all along, and this famine was not because of David's maisa with Bathsheba after all. And he says that the Zilchei Tzedek is with David's justification, that's Zilchei Tzedek with the justification of David. David turned to the Kohanim, and he says, right, now bring Karbonus. A korban of like a korban todah to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for my having come through this terrible ordeal of people blaming me, but now everybody can see I was really right all along. And those korbanos, says the Malbim, are called Zivchei Tzedek. You have Zivchei Todah and Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. So Zivchei Tzedek are korbanos brought to commemorate the justification and vindication of David after the famine came to an end. And vitre and uvitre Lashem, trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, what was that? I can't remember. I saw something on that. Oh yes, trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that now he will continue to support us with rainfall and there won't be another famine. Oh, Pasuk Zayin. Are we okay for time? Yeah, it's just 11 o'clock. Yeah, we're okay. Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin. Rabin Omrin, many people say, and it refers to David's enemies, many people say, Mi Areinu Tov, who will show us good? Halavai that we could live the life of Riley, basically. Halavai that we can live it up, live the high life. Like we see other Rishoyim who ride on the crest of the wave and have a good time. So people say the same thing, Mi Areinu Tov, who will show us the good times? We would like to live the good life. Says David, but that's not the way. Nasa Aleinu Arpanecha. You should please rise up upon us, or hold above us, the light of your face. Yeah, Arpanecha Hashem, oh, the light of your face, oh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. So, Mi Areinu Tov, who will, Rabbi Mermin, people say, who will show us the good life? But David's response to that is, no, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should please cause the light of your face to shine upon us. Oh, yeah. The word Nasar, Rashi explains, means to hold up a banner. You need to hold up a banner. And we have in Parshas Chukas, Asel Chosarof Vesimoso Al Nes, make the model of the serpent and put it on a banner and hold it up high for everyone to see. The word Nes really means a banner. And he quotes other Pesukim as well, Pesukim in Yeshaya, Harimu Nes Alo Amin. So hold up a banner. And that banner that you hold up above us should be the light of your face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting that this Loshon, Rabim Omrim, came in Pek Gimel as well. Rabim Omrim Anashi and Yishuasa Lov Elokim Sela, that people, my enemies, said about me, oh, there's no hope for him, he's finished, you know, that Hashem will never save him. That was because of the Maisa Bathsheba. You know, people gave up on my Olam Haba. People gave up on, says David, people gave up on me, on my own ruchnis. So it's the same idea. Rabim Omrim, these other people, my enemies, they are the ones who say, Mi Areinu Tov, who will show us the good times. The Radak learns that because this is a reference to the times of Avshalom and the war that Avshalom waged against David, that what are these good times, Mi Areinu Tova? What's this good that they're referring to? It's the death of David. If only David would die, then everything would work out well for us, says Avshalom. Well, David says, well, that might be wonderful for them, but it's not much good for me. The Radak also points out that this word Nesor, with Nun Samach Hei, is closely related to Nun Sin Aleph. it has exactly the same sound, and you often find the samach and the sinner interchangeable because they're both sibilant sounds. So you have ninsin he, similar to ninsin alf. Ninsin alf, of course, means to lift up. Noso, to lift up. Sorry? Yeah, ninsin alf. He says ninsin alf is closely related to nun samach he. It's the same idea. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, this Rabbim Omrim, the Alchemy Amnos brings a new pshat on this Rabbim Omrim Miarini. Tov, who will show us the good times, says the Alchemy Amnos, it refers to the non-Jewish people, nations, who say, yeah, we also want to jump on the Olam Haba bandwagon. We also want the good of Olam Haba. We also want to have that. And of course the response is, yeah, well, we Yidden, look what we have to give up over the generations, and look at the Mesias Nefesh and the persecution we suffered. That's what, and it's that that's given us the Olam Haba. That this Rabbi Momi Miarinu Tova, Miarinu Tov, is the Alchemy Amnos learns as a reference to the non-Jews who also want their chelek in Olam Haba. Okay, shall I carry on? Pasuk Ches, you want to leave it there. Yeah, Pasuk Ches. Nasatza simcha v'libi, you have given joy in my heart, says David, and that joy, may ace, is greater than, that mem means greater than, more than the time of the gonom, their corn, visiroshon, and their wine, robu, when they have plenty of corn and wine. So David is saying, my enemies, they have these great celebrations because of their great harvests of corn and wine and grape harvests. And then, of course, that gives them an immense amount of simcha, says David, but my simcha supersedes even their simcha. Nasata simcha v'libi may esagal misurishan rabbi. I have even greater simcha than they do. So Rashi says, the pshat is, well, I'm not jealous of my enemies. I'm not, yes, they might have a good time, they might be fine, but I'm not jealous of them. On the contrary, he says, if I see them riding on a crest of a wave, I take that as a tone of encouragement for myself, that kal v'chomer how much reward I'm going to get. That if my enemies have such success, with their wine harvests and their corn harvests, they have these wonderful success. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards them. If that's the reward for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's enemies, kal v'chomer, how much is the reward going to be for those who obey HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that true reward is going to be in Olam Haba. It reminds me of a story which my old chavrusa, Julian Tefan, showed me, the Chiddah, the Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He was a great Sephardi, great gadol, don't know when he lived. It must have been in the 1700s, but I'm not sure. He travelled very, very widely, and he came to London. And he writes in his memoirs, he came to London, and he came to see the Tower of London, and he went to see the Crown Jewels. Do you know this? He went to see, the Chiddah went to see the Crown Jewels, and he describes the Crown Jewels as being the most magnificent thing he's ever seen. I've never seen anything so marvellous. The Crown Jewels describes it in very, very flowery terms, very, very poetic language, how he describes the Crown Jewels. And his closing remark is, this is the reward for Rishayim. He says, kal v'chomer, how much reward it lies in wait for tzaddikim and for those people who listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Radak takes this even further. Radak says, I rejoice when I see the hatzlacha of my enemies. When I see my enemies having success, I'm thrilled to bits because I know that I'm how much more reward I'm going to get. And in fact, my enemies, feel terrible when they see me have hatzlacha. They take that very badly. But when I see my enemies having hatzlacha, I take that as a message of great hope and encouragement, and I'm delighted for them, because that ultimately means I'm delighted for myself. The Malbim, who learns the whole chapter referring to the 3-year famine in Exodus, says that this pasuk is a reference to the time of when the famine came to an end. These descendants of Shaul were killed and they were hanged, and the famine came to an end. And this is the Nasata Simcha Belibi. I had great simcha in my heart. May ace because of the time. So it's not more than the time, but it's may ace because of the time of the corn and the wine, because Rabu, they were on the increase. Now we have rainfall and the famine came to an end, and now all the food is growing again, and that gives me great simcha. So that's how the Malbim that's shot. I had great simcha in my heart because of the time of the wine and the corn growing in plentitude. this idea of my enemies being rewarded, and I take that as a message of encouragement for myself, because if they get rewarded and they are Rishon, then Kavuchem, I'm going to be rewarded. The Medrash brings a moshel on this, a moshel of a person who works for the king, and he works for the king for years and years on end, and not once does he get a penny. He's never paid by the king. He's a dedicated and devoted, loyal servant to the king, and he serves the king very well for many years, but he never receives a penny. One day, a new employee comes to the palace, works for the king, and straight away he's paid. So he says, I'm not jealous of that employee. On the contrary, if he's paid full wages for this one day's work that he's done, kal vachomer how much reward I'm going to receive for all my years and years of devoted service to the king. So it's the same idea. That's how the Medrash gives it with a moshel. Ma im horishayim kach, if this is what the Rishayim received, ha tzadikim alachas kama v'chama, then kal vachomer how much the tzadikim are going to receive. Okay, posuk tes. Last posuk. B'shalom yachtav eshkava v'isha. In peace, together, I will lie down and I will sleep. Ki ata Hashem levadad lavetach toshvini. Because you, Hashem, can settle me alone, securely. Lavetach, securely. Thank you, Dr. Shapiro, for the word securely earlier. Yeah. So, now, what's this pasuk all about? Rashi explains that the word b'shalom is almost a wistful expression. If only there were peace, yachdov, between us, among Klal Yisrael, if only my enemies, be they Avshalom, be they Achisofel, be they Shaul, if only my enemies would make peace, yachdov, together with me, then eshkvav yishan, I can lie down and I can sleep, I can get myself a good night's sleep, not worried that I'm going to be jumped upon and killed at any moment. And if only we would make peace, if only Klal Yisrael would make peace together, then ki ata Hashem levadad lavetach toshvini. Then I wouldn't mind sleeping levadad, entirely alone. I don't need any armies surrounding me. I don't need my what's it called? My protection men, they're called. I don't need my what's it? Bodyguard. Thank you, Shanathan. I don't need my bodyguard. Well done. I don't need my bodyguard. I can be levodot, I can be by myself, if only there would be peace. So that's how Rashi learns the pasuk. Levodot, there being alone. Now we've got a slight problem on this, because that word levodot has an esnachta on it. And really that's seems to be a natural break in the pasuk. Ki ata Hashem levodot. Because you, Hashem, alone, comma, lavetach toshiveni. You alone, Hashem. Now, in fact, that's how the Radak learns. The Radak learns that the word Levodot means you alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can settle me securely. And the Radak learns it because the word Levodot has an esnachta under it. However, Rashi learns differently. Rashi says, no, Levodot Labetach Toshivini, you can settle me alone, and I'll be perfectly safe even if I happen to be by myself, without my bodyguards, without my army. How can Rashi learn like that when the word levodot has an esnachta? So Rav Shimshon Falhash explains that the word v'ishon, I will sleep, the word v'ishon has two notes. We haven't got the notes printed here. Are they? No, they're not printed here. The word v'ishon has on it a note which the Rav Shimshon Falhash calls an olev yored. It looks like a mapach above the aleph. It's not a mapach, it's only printed below. This one is printed above. And it looks like a mercha below the shin. Says the Rav Shimshon Falhash, when you have that note in the pasuk, that is the major pause or break in the pasuk, the ishon. So he says that's the major break in the pasuk. But shalom yachtav eshkavav ishon. If only they would, learning like Rashi, if only there would be peace between us, then I can sleep. I can lie down and I can go to sleep. Why? Because you, Hashem, can settle me and make me secure, even levodad, even if I'm by myself. Rashi learns levodad means settle me by myself. In other words, ignoring the esnachta on levodad, because there's already this olav yored note on the ishon. Whereas the Radak learns levodad means you, Hashem, you're the only one who can settle me. And the word levodad is ki ata Hashem, because you, Hashem, levodad, you alone, Hashem, levetach toshivini, can settle me securely. Now this pasuk is very much built on a pasuk near the end of Zos HaBracha. Near the end of Zos HaBracha says a pasuk by Yishkon Yisrael Betach, that Klal Yisrael dwell securely, Bodad alone, Ein Yaakov, the spring of Yaakov, El Eretz Dagon Besirosh, with the land with Dagon, with corn, Besirosh, and wine. In other words, Klal Yisrael settle alone. If they're alone, they are Bodod, then even if they are alone, they are still Betach, they're still safe from their enemies. That's the Pshat in that Pasuk. Now, this Pasuk refers to Dagon and Tirosh, like our Perek does, and also refers to Betach and also Bodod. So it's got all these references. So the Rishonim say that this Pasuk is a direct paraphrase almost of that Pasuk in Vezeis HaBracha. B'shalom yachtov eshkevav ishan, I lie down and I sleep in peace, when there's peace between us. Ki'ata Hashem levod ad levetach tashvini, because you can settle me even if I'm by myself, even if I'm bodod, I'll still be betach. Rather like that pasuk at the end of Zos HaBracha. Also similar to the pasuk in Balak, hen om levod ad yishkon, that behold, here's the people who can dwell alone. They can afford to dwell alone without any securely. Even if they're alone, they'll still be secure. That's the idea. The Metzudas David learns an interesting shot. He says, Eshkevav Ishon, I'll lie down and I'll sleep. In other words, I won't suffer from any insomnia. I'll lie down and I'll sleep immediately. I'll be absolutely safe. I'll fall asleep straight away without any sleeping problems. Why? Because I know I'll feel secure now and I won't worry about my enemies at all. I'll just sleep straight away. And Shushan Fal Hirsch joins that onto the word Yachtov, that Yachtov Eshkevav Ishon. Simultaneously, the word Yachtov meaning simultaneously, I lie down and I'll sleep immediately. There'll be instantaneous sleep. I'll be so rested that I won't need to worry about my enemies. I'll just fall asleep straight away. The Rishon Shem Val Hash at least considers that chat. Considers that. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, the Yalkut Miam Lois points out that this B'Shalom is a reference to peace with one's fellow man. When going to sleep, Eshkevav Ishon, one should have Shalom. When one should sort of grant Mechila to everyone. In fact, it's printed in many of the Siddurim, in many of these sort of booklets with Krishman Amisen, a little paragraph before it saying a person declares he's Mechel, anyone who's ever wronged him. And that's considered a good thing to do, that one has shalom with the, one is at peace with the rest of humanity just prior to going to sleep. Not chas v'shalom, one should go to sleep with the machlokes on one's hands. Yeah. Okay, good.